good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events and personalities here on Native Roots Radio. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. You can find it at 700 Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis. Come and get your Christmas gifts and stocking stuffers.
Hey, we got a couple of young guests on today, Misko and Ruben, the artist, and he's going to be on shortly. But, you know, we always start with our young people with Ogama, who's our young person here and who does the news every day. And we really appreciate her. And you don't hear this news anywhere else, so take it away, Ogama.
Hey, Bujuwanin, everybody. I'm Ogama Ginuikwe, and I am from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I have some news today on what's happening with the first ever Rights of Nature case in tribal court, which is the case for Manuman, or wild rice, in Minnesota that was put together by the White Earth Nation. So this evening, Tuesday, December 7th, at 7 p.m. Eastern or 4 p.m. Pacific, which I do believe means that Central Time, this is happening right now, the Center for Democratic and Environmental Rights is hosting a webinar, which is a deep dive workshop into the White Earth case to enforce the rights of Manuman in the case of Manuman against the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Manuman is wild rice, and Manuman is the Ojibwe word for wild rice. And it's the first rights of nature law enforcement case to be brought in tribal court. The White Earth tribal attorney, Frank Bobeau, who's representing the wild rice and the White Earth Band of Ojibwe, we'll give a comprehensive look at this case and defining it and how it's expanding tribal sovereignty through the enforcement of rights of nature. If you want to get tuned into that or get connected with the Center for Democratic and Environmental Rights for more of their events, you can go to centerforenvironmentalrights.org, all spelled out, and then under their calendar feature, you'll see that event. So I'm going to be popping in there myself later this evening to see if I can get a copy or a recording of that one. There's also information on Inside Climate News regarding the rights of Manuman case working to stop Line 3 in Minnesota. So it's very exciting. In other news, in Minnesota for Line 3, there's a Water Protectors and Land Defenders Holiday Bazaar coming up this December 19th from 12 to 6 p.m. The International Indigenous Youth Council will be hosting a holiday bazaar, and they're going to be supporting water protectors and land defenders on the front lines of Line 3. You can come see BIPOC vendors and healers with spoken words. And spoken word pieces as well, and Native BIPOC vendors as well. And then you can come support the front lines by buying a holiday gift. That is going to be at 788.
We just lost Ogama, didn't we, Wendy? I don't know if
we
did.
We lost Ogama. We can't hear you.
Yeah, I think it just came off her live feed just came off.
Okay. Maybe I'll try texting her, but do you want to go ahead and keep going while I text her?
Yeah. Well, why don't I have our guest come on here for the next 4 minutes and talk to Misko, who's waiting in the bullpen, luckily. Misko, do you want to come on? Do you want to come on and say hi, Misko? We have a little technical difficulty, but you know, all those years you did morning announcements at your high school will come in a good effect right now, and you can ad lib. So how are you doing? You are the manager of Native Roots Trading Post, but also you have other jobs and duties too. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Buju, it's great to be here with you guys. So it's nice to be at the shop, you know, throughout the morning. But through my afternoons, I also work at the American Indian Center in Minneapolis. And right now, I'm looking for interns for our language program. So this internship is for Dakota and Ojibwe language speakers, and I'm looking for college level, you know, speakers who are looking to become language instructors or teachers in the future. And so this internship gives them, you know, experience in classes, you know, so that it prepares them to become language speakers. But yeah, so the project that we're doing with them is all up to the intern. So our project deadline is June of 2022, but they can pick whatever project they want to do. And some examples include, you know, doing a weekly word of the day in Ojibwe or Dakota. You can also help the language instructors at the Indian Center with their classes, so participating in the classes with them, as well as, you know, helping with assignments, grading tests. You can also work with the youth. It's really up to the interns on what they want to do. Their projects can be from 2 weeks to 5 months, work on it, you know, one time a week, or do their whole project within a week. So yeah, again, my name is Misko Gimiwan. I work at the American Indian Center in the CLAN program. And so if you look up the Culture Language Arts Network on Facebook, you will find a flyer. I can also link one in the comments below with the registration. But yeah, thank you for letting me highlight that on here.
Hey, Misko, tell us how important it is for us to keep our language going, and what does that mean to tribal sovereignty and things like that? Can you fill in our white allies into what we're dealing with and what we're really struggling with and what you're promoting?
Yeah, so personally, I wasn't able to learn my cultural language in the home growing up due to the residential schools and colonization. If you don't know a lot about that, I'd suggest to do research on, you know, what colonization is and what the residential schools really did to our people. They stripped us of our language, our culture, our land, our ways of life. And so for me, my family didn't know how to speak our languages. And so growing up here in the cities, you know, we had AIM movements. We have a lot of Indian education resources. And so I was able to learn my language from kindergarten all the way through college, just because of I'm growing up here in the cities, you know, this is Ojibwe and Dakota land. And so they put an emphasis on that in my education at the schools I went, but that's not provided everywhere. And so it's really important for us as individuals to seek that language and to seek that knowledge, because it's not provided everywhere. But I'm just so grateful that, you know, I grew up here, so I grew up around people who spoke it and gave me that passion to learn my language and history. And, you know, as I get older, I keep learning about, like, to me, what it means to be Native. And, you know, growing up in the cities, having these resources, I'm grateful for it. But, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. And it took a while for me to be passionate in who I am and to share my culture and to share who I am with other people. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you speak both Dakota and Ojibwe?
I grew up learning Ojibwe, the language and the culture, but I didn't take Dakota just because, you know, when you're in one class, it's kind of hard to manage both. But now I'm learning Dakota slowly. But yeah, so I'm mostly Ojibwe. I've taught Ojibwe language classes, but Dakota, I'm reconnecting to that as well.
Wow, awesome. Hey, so we don't have any bumper music right now either, so why don't we take a quick break and come back with you, Misko. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, you know, we're switching it up a little today, and we're talking to this young warrior, Misko, and talking about what it's like kind of to be an inner city Native American youth. And I know, I don't want to say how old you are, but you're roughly 20 years old. And so you're one of the young and upcoming, and you're one of the people that I always talk about when we talk about, we're really happy about the youth that's up and coming. And we're going to have another youth on later today. But Misko, when I was your age, we were just able 2 years in. So when I was a junior in high school, 1978 is when Native Americans could do their own practice their own religion. And so, I mean, that's got to be crazy for you to think about that. It's really not that long ago, and that your relatives fought all these things that you not take for granted, but that you know about, right?
Yeah. So, like I was talking about earlier, the language programs, but also the history classes that I've taken, and then being able to be part of programs, youth programs here in the cities about like food sovereignty, about reconnecting with our culture and ceremonial practices. And so I was able to, you know, meet a lot of elders and hear their stories and learn their histories and the lives that they lived. And, you know, there was a time where our people were ashamed to be Native because it was outlawed, because, you know, we were very discriminated against publicly. And so just hearing their stories and being able to learn my history and about who I am and learn my language is very powerful to me, because, you know, at a time, you know, we weren't able to do that. You know, they walked, they fought for our rights as Indigenous people, and, you know, just for us to be who we are and to practice our ways so that I could learn it and so that I could pass it on to the younger generation. And, you know, through these years, I've always been told that it's the next generation to carry these things, you know, these teachings, these sacred ways, so that, you know, it stays alive. And, you know, I take to heart that, you know, it really does take one person to learn the language and pass it on for it to stay alive.
That's awesome. And, you know, were you going to say something, Wen?
I was going to ask Misko a question. You know, we've gone to so many powwows in the past, not so much lately because of COVID. But during those powwows, Misko, I have watched you dance. Could you tell our audience a little bit about the different dances, the dances that you do, and the different dresses that you wear?
So, yeah, I'm just going to start with my dance journey and how I learned how to dance and where I started. So I actually didn't grow up dancing. You know, when you go to the Pow Arena, you ask them, how long have you been dancing? And they say, ever since I could walk. But for me, it's not the same. You know, I had dancing at my school, but I never went to, like, you know, an actual, like, community powwow or a big powwow until my teen years. And then it wasn't until I was 17 years old where my community, you know, came together and put together a dance society where we would just come, you know, once a week and do drum and dances. And it, there was dancers that would come in and show us how to dance, but really they taught us how to, you know, stay on beat and listen to the drum. And so that's how I started, was to listen to the teachings behind the drum, the teachings behind the dances, and then just, you know, go out there and dance. And it was really fun, you know, this whole time learning how to dance. It's been really fun. But it's also a lot of learning, a lot of watching, a lot of asking questions, you know, giving tobacco and offering so that, you know, you can receive those teachings and then also to pass them on. And so there right now, I think there's a lot of dance categories. And so I danced the women's fancy shawl style of dance. That was the first dance I learned and the first dance that I, you know, went out and danced. And then along, you know, through learning about the dances and, you know, the teachings behind them, I was gifted a jingle dress, which now I dance women's style jingle dress, and I share that story and share those teachings. There's also women's traditional, men's fancy, men's grass, there's chicken. So there's all kinds of dances for both men and women styles of dancing.
That was a good question,
Wendy. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask, have you won many like shows or tournaments? I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, so there's actually two different kinds of powwows, and I think you're referring to the contest powwows. Okay. There's also traditional powwows where they do have specials. I started off going to more traditional powwows and, you know, entering the dance powwow community that way. Also, when I began dancing, I was also asked to do a lot of performances and shows. And so it was really important for me to learn the teachings behind the dances so that I could, you know, pass them on to other people and not just go up there and dance and, you know, put on a show without telling them who I am and why we do these things. But yeah, I've also participated in contest dancing. Those are for more experienced dancers, you know, dancers who put their best foot forward, who practice all year round. You know, dancing is very athletic. It's to me, it's kind of like playing basketball. Like how I tell people is because it's a mental and a physical type of thing. And so you have to be, you know, mentally strong and physically fit in order to make your body do different kinds of moves and keep up with the beat, as well as, you know, ending on time and looking well while you're doing it.
Wow. Hey, I got a quick question. There's two questions. One of them I want to ask you is if there's anybody you look up to. And I'll just say, like, I really look up to the wording and the teachings of John Trudell as a national Native figure. Do you have anybody that you look up to, any elders or anybody in the community or somebody far-fetching it? Like, I really appreciate John Trudell's teachings.
I won't name one person because through me growing up and me being in the community, it was very community effort who, made me the way that I am. You know, I learned from so many people, so many elders, so many mentors, that there's not just one person that I can credit or one person that I can give all of my, you know, being a role model. So, like, I think I would answer that question by saying, I think it's the women in our community that I really up to because they just, in my perspective, do a lot of work. And I'm also going to say, Pilot, you were really a really good mentor to me, you know, a really great teacher when I was at Harding. So at the same time, you know, I really give a lot of the credit to the women in the community. You know, I've always said, like, I want to work with them. I look up to how much they're doing, how much they're doing for the people and for their families, you know, not just what they're doing in the community, but also being a role model by, you know, raising their kids with the language, with the teachings and stuff. So, and I think it's everyone. I look up to everyone who's doing things in the community, who's, you know, doing things for the people.
I appreciate the shout out, but I have to agree with you. The women have been leading the way, and maybe there's been a few celebrities out in front, but the women do the work, and they do it anonymously and humbly, and I think that's a really good point. We only got a couple minutes left, and I see Ruben's trying to get on, so we're going to grab him next segment. One of the things I'd love you to do, too, and we'd like to have you on at least a couple every couple weeks, talk about your TikTok. I know you have a lot of people following you, and you have a lot of teachings, a lot of comedy because, you know, natives are funny, things like that. So talk a little bit about that before we let you go. We got a couple minutes here, but it's exciting to see the traction you've had on TikTok.
Yeah, I think it's really important for Indigenous people to be on social media. And, you know, we've always said before that, you know, the narrative of Indigenous people weren't written by Indigenous people. So a lot of the things that would be out there in the media, you know, TV, news, imagery, was not true. And so for me to be on TikTok making dance videos, making language videos, tutorials is really important to me because it's actually an Indigenous person sharing to Indigenous and non-Indigenous people on how we are, what we look like, and what we're doing on a daily basis. So, that's what I got to say about that.
That's right. You got about 80,000 people following you, right?
60.
I always 60, exaggerate, 000. Don't yeah. I? All the way back to high school days, I exaggerated. Sorry about that. But it seemed like 80,000. But you have over a million views and things like that. So, do you have anything to leave us with? We got a minute and 20 seconds here. Any teachings that inspire you? Any sayings or anything?
I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is Minobamatizuin, which means to live a good life. And so treat people how you want to be treated. Respect everyone and yourself. But yeah, that's all I have to say. Miumiguch. Thank you for listening, and shout out to all my relatives out there.
Right on. Pini Gigi Misko, the manager at Native Roots Trading Post, and just all-around groovy young person that we want to amplify here on Native Roots Radio all over Turtle Island. We really appreciate you, Misko, for stopping in. Up next, we're going to have Ruben on, and I see he's getting ready, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact robbinskaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's not the younger people who are getting sick, and that's what people are so hesitant about getting the vaccine, because they think to themselves, well, I'm not really going to die. However, right now, they are the ones who are transmitting the virus to other people, and we need to make sure we're vaccinating as many people as possible.
This message is brought to you by McGizzy Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Flurries taper off, then partly cloudy tonight with a low of 12, then sunshine on Wednesday with a high of 24. Take a break from that holiday cooking by visiting one of our fabulous Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Find the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, this has been a great day. We had one young person on, and now we got another. Ruben Stately is a musician, among other things. I've seen him speak at events. He knows the culture, and he's also a musician. And I guess, you know, a rapper is a musician, so I don't have to say you're a rapper, right, Ruben? And welcome, and please introduce yourself. We're all over Turtle Island. We're here in Madison, Wisconsin, Chicago, and all over the upper Midwest. So welcome. Thank you.
Hawamidakiapi, Ruben Amakiab, Galmaza Adidi Hemye, Damakota, Damakota Kantua Himacha, Breshak Aisanti Himataha. How's it going, everybody? My name is Ruben Keto Stately. I'm a Dakota and Anishinaabe artist here from the Twin Cities, and I introduce myself to you all in a Dakotiapi, the Dakota language. I also in Dakota, I was saying that I'm also from a Red Lake Nation. So very proud of my lineage. I'm a Dakota and Anishinaabe artist here from the cities.
That's awesome. Hey, Ruben, we're going to talk a little bit about your music and your process, if you don't mind, and then how we can listen to your music and get your music. And I know as a former teacher, I saw your swag all over the place, and kids really, I should say young people, not kids, young adults really love your music, and you have a great following. But, you know, I just got done watching the Beatles documentary, and Wendy and I had a discussion because I want to know, do you do the words first or the music first? That's a really good question.
So sometimes whatever gets the, it, so at the end of the day, I guess the long story short is it's the words first. So, but sometimes something will prompt me to write, and whatever it is, I let it prompt me. So sometimes it'll be a beat for something totally different, or it'll be piano chords from something, and I'll start listening to it. Like, so maybe it'll be a J. Cole song. So I'll listen to the J. Cole song that's inspiring me, but I'll make the beat that it's going to finalize and become, or I'll, or for a while I'll have the lyrics floating, but they're not grounded to anything. So I got to place them. I'll listen to instrumentals that my friends make, or that I'm shopping for on the internet or whatever. And then I'll finally be like, oh, these lyrics go to that. So it's definitely the words is okay. What really, is shaping the idea.
That's awesome, because I think the Beatles were the music, which I think when we watched that movie, Wendy, wasn't Elton John, they did the words first, and then he wrote music to it? Wasn't that how that
went? Yeah, when we saw the Elton John documentary, that was mostly the lyrics first, and then Elton John put the music to it. And then when we watched the Beatles, they mostly had the melody down first, and then we're adding words to the melody. So
yeah.
I guess everybody does it different, and you could do it both ways too. So that's good to know.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that what's different about what they do versus what's going on today, and then the hip hop climate, is that hip hop, I'm trying to be a wordsmith. That was my goal throughout my whole shaping myself to become a musician. Is how am I going to use the words that everybody else uses, but I'm going to place them almost like a jigsaw puzzle, like they're pieces that everyone has seen it, but they never put them together this way. I'm going to do it like this. And so it's like I'm choosing how I'm going to use the same words that we all might say, you know, or what order they're going to go in whatever. So I think to me, my goal is to be a wordsmith. And for them, of course, if you're playing instruments, you know, the melody is what's going to make or break that whole, that the melody and the music theory is what's going to really shape what they were doing. So I understand and totally like see how that would be their process. Like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I know by not being a percussionist, but teaching percussion over the years in the high school, that there are rhythm, or words have rhythm, I should say, correct?
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And hip-hop is about percussion, you know, like it's the words you say, how you use them. And like if the word has three syllables and you say it as a triplet, or you could say it almost as 16ths, or, you know, like say it's really slow, it'll sound... However, you know, it's like you break up a word, you can make it longer, shorter, whatever, but you're continuing to, I don't know, I feel like Eminem, like, I respect Eminem, but he's not one of my favorites, but Eminem brought a new cadence and percussion to the way he rapped. And that's why he took, he was so niche. And well, aside from being a really great white rapper in a place where it was, there hadn't been a predecessor to him that really stood out in the way he did. So yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's the percussion that makes him great.
Yeah, I can see that. Because I was a teacher for a while, I did see 8 Mile and in the music there. That was really, yeah, really percussion-wise. So you say, so do you ever make your own music to rap to, or do you pretty much sample stuff, or how does that process go?
Yeah, so I'm on this. I use this thing called Splice, and sometimes so I get loops or samples, and then I spin them and do my own thing. And so I'm really good with percussion. So I do all my own drums. And so my first album, I made 9 out of the 13 There's 13 songs on there. In 9 of the songs, I produced it. I made the beat.
Wow.
And so sometimes I'll get like a piano riff. I'll play it in reverse. I'll chop it up and move the notes, and then I'll play it at half speed than it was originally. Mm. I don't know. There's just crazy things that you can do to manipulate a sound. But the whole point of when I try to make something is like make it my own, even if I took it from something else. And so anyway, it's like royalty free stuff that and it's a good tool to use. It's called Splice. And so I was using that for a lot of my production for my first album. And there's only one song, like my song Dear My Future Son, I made the beat for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, I had researched, because I know a little bit about music theory. So I researched what type of music theory were they using in 70s rock. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to write this song, because I wanted guitar and keys. And like I had like a Rhodes piano. I don't know if you've ever heard this song, but basically I played the Rhodes piano chords because I know what the key, I'm really comfortable with a keyboard, but not any other instrument. So I played some keys on there, some chords, and I got something sounding good. And I played it in like E Locrian or something weird, something that I read online was like the common scale for all these rock artists at the time, or in the 70s. And so anyway, I was writing this song, and I continued in this, and then I was using the keyboard to play a fake guitar. And it was so funny because on digital instruments, you can manipulate them to sound like real instruments. If you add enough reverb and then properly like manipulate it, it sounds like a real guitar. But what was funny to me is like, I've never played a guitar. What makes sense? What notes make sense? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I kept doing it over and over and over, and I was just wrong every time because I'm used to how a piano, piano intervals might go, but not a guitar because I've never played a guitar. So finally, at some point, I got it right. It sounded right. And then that was the final version of the production, you know. So anyway, that was a really cool project. But that's the only one time where I really wrote, and deleted it. You know, it finally became what it was supposed to through a lot of repetition and trying.
I think that's what makes a musician, too, and an artist is tenacity. And that's what it sounds like. You just went through that process to get it right. I'm wondering too, we got a couple more minutes here, and do you have a message rap that you could maybe acapella for our people here, maybe a short few lines just to give people listening kind of what you're all about, Ruben?
Yeah, sure. I got this song that's going to be on my next album. It's called 1999, my album. That should be right in the beginning of next year. But this song is on SoundCloud. It's called Hands to the Sky. And this is what the first verse goes like. But this song was written as a native kid growing up in the cities, seeing the way our people come together when we need each other. And I don't know, basically like how I reflect on seeing like our people organize and be like politically active. So this is my song called Hands to the Sky. They wonder why I feel the way that I do. I gotta get this off my chest. Let me speak my truth. Hey, yo, my dad made money, but my mom made moves. And they say it takes a village. Let me pay my dues. Cause my grandpa, he's a veteran. Raised us to be better men. Ruben was my hero, buddy Lane was my heroine. Aim in my DNA. Survival is a fight. Next generation stronger. Y'all gonna have a better life. I'ma always kneel for that star spangled banner. My fist in the air, I'm yelling Black Lives Matter. North side blocks where the black lives splatted. South side blocks where my people's dreams shattered. I'm indigenous and proud. I'ma say it loud because this mayor needs to make a change. He needs to make it now. We got Tent City. You can see my people downtrodden. Stand strong because you're not gone and not forgotten. Appropriate a culture. Mock our ways with this racist franchise. The white man gets paid. He got taxpayer money on a $1 billion stadium. Native folks are struggling. It ain't nobody feeding them. Republicans are red and Democrats are blue, but none of them politicians really care about you. I'm centered by my music and it helps me lift my spirit. My soul becomes whole when I know that people hear it.
Yeah, wow.
That's wow, it. That was awesome.
Yeah, it definitely. And I can see because you're speaking your truth that it resonates a lot with inner city kids and inner city natives. And I can see why people follow you and really respect you. And when we're at a powwow,
the girls will whisper, "There's Ruben right over there." And so your fan club. So that's awesome. Give us we only got a minute left, Ruben. Can you give out your SoundCloud address and maybe your Facebook so people can jump on and check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. SoundCloud.com/YoungKitto, YUNGKITTO. Or if you go on SoundCloud.com, you can look up Kitto, KITTO. And I have a big orange star next to my name. I'm like the only person on there named Kitto. And then I'm also on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Tidal. So the big streaming platforms, I'm on there too, Kitto, KITTO.
Well, I really appreciate you stopping in, and you know, you're the generation that's really going to turn things around and keep things going for Native Americans. And so I really feel like it's great to have you on, and it's great to have young people on, because we need you to be you. And I really appreciate you stopping on, Ruben. Thank you so much.
Yeah, your absolutely. Uncle, thank you for inviting me.
We're going to have you on more often, you know, whether we're going to have you do a song or whatever. We want this to be a pretty often thing. So we really appreciate you being on. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with our sacred animal portion.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I think I just heard Ogama.
Am I back there now? Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yeah. What did you think of that interview? I know you were texting me, Ogama.
Sorry, I had technical difficulties.
It happens, and there's a bunch of snow up here, and we had a little bit of a power outage in my town where I live last night, so I'm not honestly that surprised. Just a little annoyed by technology today. I thought that interview was great. I really love Kitto's music, and I tune in whenever I can, and excited to hear he's got a new album coming up at the beginning of next year. Really excited for that.
Yeah. I came up with some good questions, too, because I think Wendy and I were just talking about, that's interesting how we watched the Beatles documentary and how they came up with the music first. And then we watched, it wasn't a documentary, it was a movie on Elton John. Mm-hmm. That you know, the words came to him and then he wrote music to it and then sang it. But it's different, and he's a true artist. So I'm glad to have you back on, Ogama, just in time for Wendy's segment here. And Wendy, you're in New York helping out with family. And I see you got nice flowers back there, and it was your birthday yesterday, and we all missed
my birthday. I appreciate the day off, so thank you. And thank you for the lovely flowers and the card that came with it. I really, really appreciate it. So they are in the shot. If anybody could see, you could see the flowers in the background. They're pretty spectacular.
They look small, they look far away like that. No, I'm just kidding.
I could move them closer.
Tomorrow's show. So what do you got for us, Wen?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking around today about for articles, something that's really recent, and I found an NPR News Environment article that a video captures an enormous bear in northern Minnesota. And this is a picture of, if you could take down my segment where it says Wendy Pilot with Sacred Animal News, you could see the belly of the beast. This article was written by Dan Kraker from Duluth, Minnesota, and it was just updated today, December 7th, 2021 at 12:15 p.m. For the past 7 years, researchers with the Voyagers Wolf Project have deployed GPS collars and about 200 cameras to document the surprising survival tactics wolves employ to survive the summer in and around Voyagers National Park. But those cameras also capture other wildlife in the region, including on October 7th, a giant black bear that waddled across the frame, its belly swinging from side to side, only inches from the ground. Now, this is just a still that I took from the video, but you could go on Voyagers Wolf Project and see this actual bear walking past the camera, and his belly is swinging from side to side, only inches from the ground. It is pretty astonishing. And the Voyager Wolf Project also has a stunning footage of a black wolf in northern Minnesota. And these videos were taken at the Voyagers National Park, which is near the city of International Falls in northern Minnesota. It kind of looks like a big pig with hair, said Tom Gable, who heads the Wolf Project. The bear was filmed along a dirt road near a remote lake called Long Lake, south of the park and west of Crane Lake, where there's several cabins and network of ATV trails. One of the wolf pack's Gable studies uses those trails to get around the lake, so they posted a camera to capture their movements. Gable said it's common for their cameras to also capture bears, but he's never seen a bear even remotely this size. That's Wendy, what makes this video stand out so much, he said.
That bear has to have,
what's that?
That bear has to have diabetes. Come on.
Yes, diabetes. There's no doubt about it. This is a large bear, concurred Andy Tri, bear project leader for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. He said 700 pounds is a reasonable estimate, but stressed that a rough guess given the darkness of the video. Tri added, it's almost certainly a male bear. They're more able to pack on the pounds and get super big, he explained. Black bears don't usually get anywhere near that big, but ironically, bears in Minnesota tend to grow larger in years where there are poor supplies of natural foods, like this past year when most of northern Minnesota was in severe drought. And that's just because we allow hunters to use bait, Tri explained. And so when they come into those baits hungry in bad food years, they tend to stay longer. Tri also suspects that the bear spent time at the Vince Chute Wildlife Sanctuary in Orr, where wild bears are allowed to come and go and where food is provided about 20 miles south of where the bear was captured on the video. Sometimes bears will come in the fall for a snack, get real fat, and then move off the sanctuary to go den up, said Tri. Tri said, there once was a bear, Vince Shute named him Duffy, that was killed near the sanctuary boundary in 1993. The giant weighed in at 848 pounds. But that's an enormous bear, even for an animal that ate regularly at the sanctuary. He said most mature male bears in Minnesota weigh between 275 and 425 pounds in March. In the fall, when they're fattened up, they may weigh 100 pounds more. The video Gable posted on Facebook simply said, huge fat bear in northern Minnesota, and it received more than 350,000 views in a week. That's not uncommon for Voyage's Wolf Project videos. A couple of months ago, a video of a black wolf running through the fall foliage also a similar amount of attention. Another recent video of three black bear cubs playing with a trail camera got more than 500,000 views. Gable and his team have published several groundbreaking research papers documenting how wolves hunt for fish, for example, and lie in wait for hours at the same time to ambush a beaver. But he said the public outreach aspect of their work has been most surprising and in some ways the most gratifying. It's really a joy to be able to share these cool videos with people and to make people feel like they're really getting an inside look into what's going on in the woods up here, Gable said. It's given people a much better appreciation for wildlife and how special northern Minnesota is. So if you get a chance, check out Voyager's Wolf Project. It's a great organization. They're located in Voyager's National Park near International Falls. And they have really a lot of these wonders that you can go on and check out the wildlife in the area. So this bear... they're guessing it's about 700 pounds, give or take. I don't know. But I wasn't sure, Ogama, if you were able to put the video up of the bear, you know, moving while I was talking. So I just put the still up. I tried to grab the area that showed the biggest portion of its belly. Yeah, so you could check that out. And I know in the past, I don't have much time I have left, but we've talked about fun facts about black bears. And a couple of black bear facts that I have right here. Black bears are the smallest bears in North America. They're the only bear living in Colorado. The polar bear and grizzly bear are larger and live further north. Black is just the term to describe the species of bear. In addition to black, these bears can also have coats that are blonde, cinnamon, or brown.
Hey, Pini Gigi, Wendy, thank you so much. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3 and please get vaccinated.